Good morning, fellow gooners. Welcome to another episode of Cannon Talk. I'm yours, Morning, my co-host, usual, Aiden.
How did guys, Arsenal take on Luton, and then we discuss the build-up to the Brighton game, as well as Bayern Munich next week in the Champions League.
Yeah, so Arsenal rang the changes going into the fixture against Luton. Five changes, in fact. Partey, Nelson, Zinchenko, Smith, Rowe, and Trossard coming in. Out goes Rice, Kivior, Saka, Jesus and Jorginho. What was your thoughts when you saw the lineup?
No, it's quite interesting to see that that they stuck with Havertz up top and never tried to move Jesus in the center, since maybe Jesus needed more minutes. But it seems like he likes the tall figure in the middle between the pacey or guys with the trickery on the wing. So interested to see that he never arrested Havertz, since Havertz played against Man City as well. I was quite happy to see the rotation, as we did speak about it in the previous podcast, where you could try to rotate. Obviously, it seems like your Ben White, Saliba and Gabriel are the stalwarts in the team, and you can kind of work around them. But other than that, I was happy with the lineup and happy to see Smith Rowe being a part of the team again.
But I mean, one thing I saw messaged you after or just before the match, where I gave you also that props, because I said, you made the call where you said, look, I maybe thought one or two, but I mean, you thought it going to be, almost like wholesome changes in the squad, going to the game. So, good call by you, Aiden. Arsenal's kick off the game. They, of course, burst into attack already in the opening salvos. Luton, surprisingly, cautious, not, trying to overexert themselves. And Arsenal looking like a attacking threat from the first whistle.
Yeah, I know, and it was a good thing to just look at. I'm not comparing us to City, but when you look at this side, this probably could have been a starting 11 last season where, Partey was a stalwart in the side, but Partey was coming in to kind of give Rice a rest. Zinchenko was the stalwart, kind of last season, and we were kind of panicked when he was injured, but there wasn't an able body replacement properly. But you kind of had Kivio getting a break. So it kind of just was nice to see that, that Martinelli wasn't needed in the starting lineup or forced or pushed into it. So it just shows that, we might not be at that City level yet, but we're getting there where you can rotate the squad and it kind of stays the same.
Yeah. Look, I don't normally listen, say, to other people's opinion, especially other people's of club-wise or whatever. But that United fan flex that's on YouTube and that, something he actually said that I didn't really take note of at first, but when he said it, then almost in hindsight I started thinking, he's actually right, because he said something down the lines of people would have made now mocked Havertz. Look, we also grew frustrated with him, but he said like for him watching Havertz even against Man City, he said he was causing so much distraction to Diaz in the City defense. It's almost like it allowed everybody else to get also, when they needed to get a free run, especially when you were doing that trying or that attempt at high press against City. Because, it's like he was almost distracting Ruben Dias completely, almost taking him out of the picture, leaving City almost a man short in defense. And I think that's what is his role at the moment, and what you now said, that is probably the thing that's keeping him in the squad now, and, in Arteta's eyes now.
Yeah, and he gets stuck amongst things, man. You always see him in a scuffle with the ball, or he's on the defender, and he sometimes he's quite strong as well, because I've seen a few times, where the defender in this game especially comes shoulder to shoulder with him, or tries to knock him off the ball. I think it was that defender with the dreadlocks. I can't get to his name. I think, let me just check him again. Was it Meng? Could be, or it could have been that Mengi guy. And he was consistently just knocking him off the ball, brushing him off, and he has that aerial threat. So he's slowly starting to fit Arsenal, I'm starting to like him as a player. I know, I wanted him to when he started, I wanted him to do well, and then I started getting frustrated with him. Then he started winning me over, so it was a process with him. But I always enjoy seeing him in the team.
You know what I actually noticed also in games, the more and more I see it, especially now with since 2024, he does this thing where he'll hang in the to almost distract the defense. But then what he does is also he starts dropping in midfield, so it's almost that center back doesn't know whether he must now stay in his position or follow him back into midfield. And The minute he starts pulling himself like out, like the defender, it's almost like already opening like a sort of gateway for Arsenal to attack it, like, you know, to already probe it.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely adding a new dimension to the side. And that doesn't mean like Jesus doesn't have a place in the side, but I mean, you know, you can rotate them, but it just seems that Davan seems to suit the side more at times, you know, when bringing the best out of the likes of Martinelli and Saka.
Yeah. Then in the 9th minute, Zinchenko receives a short corner that Arsenal took. Then let's fly from 20 meters out. Alfie Doherty ends up, you know, getting in the way of the shot, forcing the block. But I mean, you can see Arsenal now, you know, pressing on the front foot. Now, then 16th minute, Odegaard ends up feeding Havertz, who wants to, you know, play to Emile Smith-Rowe the ball. But I mean, Luton ends up swarming both players with like about 5 guys to fizzle out the move.
Yeah, I know. You could see that. It seemed like they were trying to team Emile Smith-Rowe up for a goal, because shame. I think he was due a goal, like prior to his injury, you know, he was the guy that was banging in the goals for us.
Yeah. Then 24th minute, Smith-Rowe ends up dispossessing Mpanzu in midfield, plays Havertz in, who thinks fast with himself getting, you know, closed up. He already sees like a passing outlet. He ends up feeding Odegaard, who ends up shooting first time and beats the keeper, and Arsenal go 1-0 up.
It seems like Odegaard actually missed his shot, you know, like he sliced his shot almost.
Technique, like when they showed the thing from behind his back, that's normally a left-footer's technique, like to almost like sort of finesse the thing where you almost like banana kicking the ball with a strike, and it's like just fading away from the keeper constantly. I mean, you can get it wrong, of course, you can get it badly wrong, but when it does hit the sweet spot of your foot, I mean, you're a natural left-footer. Tried little shots like that where it like just fades away from the keeper with the outside of the
Ball. No, definitely. I even had some of those when I missed it, because I'm thinking sometimes when I use my right foot, we have, you know, bamboozled the keeper very nicely a few times where you kind of strike the ball with your right foot, but because you don't strike it cleanly, the keeper kind of gets caught in two minds. But, you know, brilliant finish by Odegaard, and, you know, Havertz again, you know, if he's not scoring, he's assisting.
And I mean, one thing I also added to the this little note that I jotted down, if you think like 5 months ago when we all remember, like fans now and listeners, or they were, excuse me, remember his sort of form that he was having, or lack of form, 5 months ago. And I mean, that Odegaard of that time would probably have taken 2-3 touches to line up the shot and
yes,
close down. And now it's everything looks more crisp. And like even that goal he scored, I think, I'm not sure if it was against Burnley, it was also like, other times, it'll probably like tee the thing up, but I mean, he immediately just strikes the ball cleanly and then beats the keeper.
Yeah, I know. He's got some important goals this season for us. And I think, you know, what is good to see is if you look at this, just looking at this team, like if somebody doesn't perform, you know, you have somebody waiting in the wings. Like, for example, if we had to replace Havertz, you had Jesus waiting there, even Odegaard, you know, you could even throw Declan Rice inside there and you would get a different dimension. So, the squad is looking like a squad now. It's just up to Arteta now to manage it. And I think, you know, we're getting the early, like not early goal, but I mean, you know, kind of midway through first half to get the goal. You kind of just ease the tension a bit in the stadium.
Yeah. Then 34th minute, Arsenal again, you know, on the attack. This time again, after great work by Thomas Partey and Odegaard, Smith Rowe ends up forcing the keeper into a low block save. Then 41st minute, Ben White ends up carving a chance out for Havertz, who then, of course, sees his shot also saved low at the near post by Kaminski in the Luton goal. But I mean, Arsenal really not pushing on for the second as we're approaching half time.
Yeah, I know. I felt we needed to, like, just didn't get the second, just knock the wind out of Luton. So, like, it was not even about, like, you know, trying to hold out the 1-0 lead. I think, you know, you set yourself up for stress like that. So, yeah. You can grab a second goal, you can, you know, probably knock the wind out of their sails completely, because Luton's a side that, you know, like if you're in touching distance of them, you know, they will chase you. But it's almost like, you know, when you get that second goal or third goal, they kind of just get deflated.
Yeah. And then 44th minute, like, you know, the pressure pays off. Smith Rowe ends up running to the ball down to the dead ball line, cuts the ball across the face of goal, and under pressure from Reece Nelson, Ashioko, the defender of Luton, ends up bundling the ball into his own net, and Arsenal go 2-0 up.
Yeah, I know. Brilliant ball that play. And, you know, well done for Emile Smith-Rowe. 2 assists, and it's not even half-time yet.
Yeah. So we move on to the second half. I mean, I didn't like put, too much down here because, I mean, for me, it was more a case of a more controlled Arsenal in that second half. And, I mean, to be honest, now, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, we normally call it as these. But, I mean, it was a kind of dull second half because you could see, clearly, like, Luton were coming from, it's like, they're not going to offer that much. And, I mean, Arsenal were clearly not going to overexert themselves in that second half.
Yeah, you could see, and even Arteta started ringing the changes, like, in a way he could, because, like I said, when we spoke about it, our next few games aren't going to be like, oh, yeah, you can rotate here. I think next is like basically play your best players who can play. You know, if the guys are up for it, they need to play. And, obviously, yeah, and there, if Odegaard really needs, is hitting the red zone, you can throw in Emile Smith Rowe to kind of deputize with maybe Partey and Rice type of thing. So it's all going to be about survival of the fittest, basically, as we reach through to the end of the season. Because, I don't think there's any, easy type of game, because I put it in inverted commas, because, like I mentioned, it's like Bayern, Brighton, Bayern, Aston Villa, Bayern, Tottenham, Chelsea, Wolves. So, we're going to have to work for it, and it's not going to be easy. But, like you said, it's kind of that way we just... somebody said Arsenal were too emotional, last season, whereby, everything, I think it was Gary Neville who said it, and even Carragher, they kind of got too excited, like, games just went down to the wire all the time, and I'm sure you can relate to it, how stressful it was last season, where, you'd get these last-minute goals all the time, and I think that's also where it kind of ran the team's gas out, where yeah, like you said, they kind of just shut the game down and just, no silly mistakes. And that was also where it comes down to. I don't know if taking Zinchenko off was because he was tired, or is it just to kind of, iron out all mistakes. I mean, even Ramsdale, was at a risk sometimes for where it's 2-0 and suddenly you would just, have a brain fart and give the ball away and we concede.
Because I was also just feeling, the latter part of the game. Yeah, we had control, but it's like there was some, say, needless risk that Zinchenko keeps on taking.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing that almost like frustrates us as Arsenal fans. I mean, look, yeah, we get behind all our players in that, but sometimes when you see, through one person's lack of discipline or whatever, it can almost like throw the whole spanner in the works for you. All the what you now said of last season where things were looking great, like say at 2-0, and then all of a sudden the team concedes, and then we look like it's clinging on. And as you said, then it's not a real nice feeling about it. But I think now, I'm not sure if you and I said it in the summer or, one of our first podcasts of the season, where we said something down the lines of, we don't care if we're going to win the title, and people said we are boring. But I mean, at least we got the controlled way. Because look, our people used to comment now also about Man City, like previous seasons. Okay, not now, since they're conceding like quite a few in games. But I mean, some people used to say, or even myself used to say, at times it like seems robotic football, like almost like an eye game type of thing, where they know we have to do this, we have to do, like that, like where they robotically control a game, where teams also like get totally bored, lose their mind and whatever, and then just like lose the plot, and that is when City pick you off and I mean humiliate you at the end of it, I come to think of it.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So we move on to the match now today, Arsenal versus Brighton. Ninth meet second. The Seagulls hit by injuries again going into this game. I mean, I think big doubts for them at the moment is Webster in defense, Ferguson up front. I mean, whenever they say doubts, it normally means that they are close to, being in the squad. I'm just like putting it out there. Then that Hinchelwood, he's out. Not out, he's a doubt for the game, as well as Molnar through, I don't know if it's fatigue or whatever. But I mean, like, the players definitely out for this match is March, Mitoma, and Gilmore.
Yeah, those are guys that are real troublemakers of, especially Mitoma and Solly March. I mean, we've felt the wrath of Solly March a few times, but I do feel that, if Arsenal want to be serious contenders of the league, I mean, they have the opportunity to kind of go top if they win this game, and almost over to Liverpool to go to Old Trafford, which, as a Liverpool fan, you would rather be playing Brighton than going to Liverpool, going to United at Old Trafford this season, this this game week. So, you know, I think, you know, do we have any doubt? Is Saka going to miss the game?
No, no, no. The thing is, Saka was complaining about a tender hamstring against, what was the game the other day?
City,
yeah. But they said, like, they allowed him, like, for majority time to, like, rest the leg. And then yesterday or Thursday, Arsenal had, a light training session followed by, like, a more intense one. So they said that is where, like, look, I think the more intense one is not, like, shown anywhere on, like, television or whatever. So that is where they probably make the decision, like, you know, if he's in the, like, starting squad or the travelling party for the match. Because I think Saka's the only one. Because other than that, but for the long term of Timber at the moment, the rest of the squad is all up and running and fit to go.
Look, I don't think you should force Saka. Obviously, it's a big game, this. But, you know, you don't want a passenger. You'd rather have somebody on that wing that, you know, can track up and down. They can give it his all. Then kind of try to nurse Saka through the game. I mean, I don't think we're at that level anymore. We need to nurse Saka through a game where, you know, you can throw Trossard, Nelson, even Martinelli or Jesus on that side if you want to. You know, just mix it up a bit. But I don't think you need to kind of force a player into playing and then, you know, he doesn't give his all or he's scared he's going to get injured.
And I mean, like, look at their midfield at the moment, like the current midfield that they use. Pascal Gross has always been also a problem when we played them. And I think that is where the likes of, whether it's Declan Rice or Partey or he was going to, you know, dominate that midfield, needs to almost like get the upper hand on him immediately. Because I think when he starts also dictating play and doing things, because he's also like good, like shielding their defense. I mean, he does like roughly the same job as Rice, but I mean, I just think if we added a bit more tempo to midfield and that, and you know, like really put them under pressure, then we can like really have a go at them in that game, being even away from home. Because I mean, we looked actually quite comfortable wherever we've been on our travels this season.
Yeah, and interesting fact, I'm seeing it, you know, since August, Brighton are unbeaten in their last 12 Premier League matches at home. So it's the longest unbeaten run in the Premier League. So, you know, let's see, you know, we're going to a tough place where points aren't easily taken from them. Yeah. So, you know, if we can go there and pick up 3 points, I think it's, you know, three points closer and 3 points in the bag against a team that, you know, you're kind of happy to be done playing against.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, one of the points I just jotted down, like, you know, leading up to this whole podcast we did today, is, like, I wrote down something like, Brighton has always been, like, a thorn in our side, even though we've had, like, you know, positive results against them. But they do tend to, like, you know, put a span in the works when you, as a club, trying to chase or achieve something. Like, I mean,
I can think of how many draws we've got against them already.
And, I mean, how they buried us at the Emirates. Was it last season?
Yes.
The end of the season.
They buried us like 2 seasons in a row at the Emirates. And then the season before that, I think we beat them, but it was a dead rubber game. But then the season before that, they also beat us. I think it was when, just before Arteta came, they buried us at the Emirates. So, you know, it's a team that Arsenal, you know, I'll put it this way. You know, the Arsenal of old would fumble against a game like this. You know, where under Arsene Wenger, for example, where, you know, the mentality is still a bit brittle, where we go into this game and Brighton would get stuck in among us and, you know, kind of drop points in a game like this. But, you know, I am confident that we will go into this game and not be naive and just kind of see them off. And then, you know, we have to look towards Tuesday.
Yeah, and one thing I want to add before we move on to the Bayern game, one thing I also like of Arsenal these days, especially now away from home, they normally take like between a minute to 2 minutes to almost like size you up and how to approach the game. I don't know if you noticed that, especially away games, and they know, okay, we're going to flood you here, we're going to smother you there, we're going to, you know, attack from this side more or revert to this sort of tactic. And I mean, I'm loving it because, I mean, you can actually see no matter what, the opponent coaches trying to counter. I mean, you know, at any sort of break in play, the coaches of the opponent or rival is trying to just call them over and just try to shift them, you know, like the chess pieces around. But I mean, by that time, Arteta's already got like a plan B, C, and D going already again.
Yeah, I know that's quite impressive with how he's, you know, we've seen him grow as a manager as well in this time.
Yeah. So move on to the match on Tuesday evening, Arsenal versus Bayern Munich. Champions League quarterfinal first leg. Bayern going to the game also crazy injury list. One of the up and coming youngsters that's also been playing regular football for them, Pavlovic, he's been ill for a while. I don't know if he makes it to the squad. Dennis Kingsley Coman is out for the game, only back in April, late April. Leroy Sané, groin injury, out till May. Manuel Neuer, groin injury, a few days. So I don't know if they're going to try to push him to get to... Because I'm actually going to watch today's matches to see if he even makes like the bench for Bayern. And then Mazraoui is out with a cold or fever for a few days. I mean, I'll probably bank on him being in there the week and the midweek. And then, I mean, that guy that they just bought in January, he's also out, Bowie. He's out until middle or late April.
Yeah, so they've been quite injury prone. I wonder if they're going to... Do you think they're going to rest players for the league game today? Or do you think they're going to...
I don't know. I'll probably, also keep you updated with that. But, I mean... to see how things play out, because I mean they play FC Heidenheim, which is like a...
And how are they? They're quite low in the league, eh?
I know they're like what, 11th, I believe. But I mean the last five games they've, I think, lost three, drawn two. But I mean they're almost like another team that's been a thorn in some team's side also. There's the Heidenheim, so they can be. And I mean especially since it's a Bayern game that they're playing away from home. In Heidenheim. So, I mean, it can be, anything. But, I mean, I'll probably check also. But as I said, what I have been analyzing so far in the games, whatever we're playing and our opponents and that, I've been also seeing, as I told you, I think, in the previous podcast, Bayern do have a very soft center because De Ligt and Eric Dier, they are going to be solid in the air. But if you're going to attack them on the ground and use raw pace against them, they are not, they almost like it's like watching two meta suckers in central defense. Something like it. Because, I mean, the way they turn to almost like to sort of counter the attack. And I mean, all of a sudden, Upamecano is like, the fifth wheel for Bayern at the moment. So everything is very strange the way things are playing out, with Leverkusen running away with the title.
What about the Korean center? Was it Korean guy that
honestly, he's not even getting a game.
Really?
Yeah, he's not getting a game. I mean,
kind of liked him at Napoli.
But I mean, he normally gets like 5-10 minutes cameos or stuff like that, from what I've seen so far. But I mean, at the moment, it's like he's Tuchel is very fixed on Dier and De Ligt at the moment. And yet, they have won games, but they've also lost games quite badly with the two of them in defense.
Yeah, I know. Last week, even that's what they got. Dortmund never goes to the Allianz to pick up points, but they had fun.
Yeah. Because, I watched the game, and, I mean, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And what was also happening, and I think this is probably going to be Arteta's approach, the likes of Kimmich and Alphonso Davies, they love bombing forward. But the thing is, if you do that relentlessly against Arsenal, you can clearly see the likes of Gabriel or Saliba or even Rice, they're going to end up just lofting balls into that corners of the pitch also.
Yeah.
Knowing, I mean, they're going to have to turn and defend all time, like Bayern. So, I mean, this is an ideal time to also face them, to be honest. No, all our time, us watching football and watching Arsenal.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we go back to the knockout stages. We got them in 04, 05. 12, 13, 13, 14, and 16, 17, and all of those times, Bayern ended up victors. So, maybe they say fifth time lucky, they say third time lucky, but I'm hoping it's going to be fifth time lucky for us.
Must be. So we move our days now as we round off the podcast to the talking point section. I just have one thing to bring up. Tomorrow's match, Man United, Liverpool, how's your feeling towards that game, thought-wise? Because, I mean, my thinking is just, look, United got humiliated against Chelsea the other night. So, I mean, surely they need some sort of, to win their fan base. Because, I mean, look, they're losing their fan base in droves at the moment. No matter how they, trying to be, stick to them or whatever. But, I mean, I think people are losing almost, interest in the way Man United are having their season run at the moment after so much talk. And, I mean, sometimes at times, Ten Hag also seems somewhat delusional with certain comments he makes. Look, we've known that. We've also experienced it as Arsenal fans, where the coach is like he's purposely trying to overlook the negative points or whatever, and try to always push up positive stuff. But I mean, look, they really let the ball drop the other day. Pardon the pun, because I mean, you 3-2 up, 98th minute or something, just started having a total meltdown. So I just hope that they really put on a show, and I mean that it could be also to our benefit then, like that also.
I don't bring up a few points. Like I'm gonna add to your point, and then just throw a few things off from my side before we end off. It's gonna be a tricky affair. I think the fact that Liverpool got knocked out the FA Cup by United, they're probably gonna come there with a bit of revenge. Kind of angry because of what United did, because in that game, Liverpool basically lost to themselves. They're just silly errors, wasn't that? United were that much better than them, but I'm hoping, and like I don't often support United, but I'm actually, gonna be rooting for a United win. I mean, a draw at least. But even when I was looking to bet, obviously Liverpool looks quite good odds at 1.6, but I couldn't find myself to bet on Liverpool because I won't be able to celebrate that win, man. Like I need them to drop points somewhere. And this is kind of one of those banana peels where, the game could go in favor of United. But then, yeah, so I'm hoping for a United win. Whether they can do it, I don't know. I'm just a bit worried about what happened in the FA Cup. So that's where my head is at. And then another thing, two more things I want to bring up is that, David Raya is slowly starting to win me over. I think, not that I just lost faith in the Ramsdale, but kind of when it incident happened against Brentford, it was kind of and then obviously Raya had that magnificent penalty shootout. But you kind of think to yourself is that Ramsdale maybe lacks a bit of concentration or maybe if it's maturity to an extent where I know he had that interview where he said he loses concentration and he interacts with the fans and this and that, but it's like you saw it there in the game, a game we were cruising against Brentford, and a mistake suddenly led to a 1-1 game, which we had to kind of it got a bit emotional, especially when we scored. So last season we had a lot of that because of Ramsdale moments. And then the last thing I want to end up with, I'm not sure if you've seen that Netflix documentary of Man City, the treble winners, but I started watching a bit of the first episode last night, and you kind of just see that mentality monsters of the players. Like you just see that that level of kind of they don't accept anything less, like the leadership of the players, like telling the team, we can't do this, we have to be better. If we want to achieve this, we're gonna have to win here and show what we're made of and things like that. So you just see that mentality monsters, and I think maybe if you look at the Amazon Prime documentary of Arsenal, and if you must probably watch a new documentary of them, I think you'll see a maturity in a lot more of the players and actually how they actually that leadership has grown and probably don't accept mediocrity anymore.
I fully agree with you. And one thing I also want to add also, for me, that comments that Bernardo Silva made the other day post-match, for me, that comes as an Arsenal fan as a hell of a compliment, where he said, like, they weren't as easy pushovers this time around. And he said, like, I mean, even though the score was 0-0, and he said he saw that sort of maturity coming now through by Arsenal that they've been lacking all these years. And I mean, for me to hear somebody like from a treble winner making a comment like that, it tells a hell of a lot of the sort of strides that Arteta has made in this, like in the space of a year from that, the last time's heartbreak.
Yeah, I know, definitely. And then just, I don't know if anything to add, but if not, I want to just ask you a thing. Prediction today against Brighton, prediction against Bayern, before we end off.
I think with Brighton, it's going to be a tough game. Not going to lie about that. But I think with that persistence and that, I think we're going to break them down. And I think with Bayern, if we play fast enough, especially with so many injuries or even because I got a feeling Bayern are also going to have to force people to play this game that are like, say, 50-50. Like, I mean, if you force, say, Neuer in a game like this, I think Arsenal are going to probably work him and overwork him. And I just hope for, like as an Arsenal fan now, I just hope we can already sort the game out at the Emirates already.
Yeah.
You can. I'm not saying you play with the handbrake, with the handbrake on when you go to the Allianz, but you can play a more cat and mouse game, and almost like you just have to then pick them off. That's all. You didn't have to, almost like the way City played. If you think of City's Champions League run, how they
Yeah.
ended up knowing like at that, I don't know which leg it was when they played Madrid, where they thought you know, Madrid have to almost a kind of chase this game, and that is in the end how they ended up sorting out Madrid.
Yeah, I mean, they did beat Bayern 3-0 at the Etihad. So, maybe we could do with a scoreline of 2+ in the first leg. And I actually think against Brighton, we could beat them 2-0 today.
Okay then, guys. Hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. You, Aiden, I hope you and your wife have a fantastic weekend as well. Take care, guys. Enjoy. Bye.
Enjoy, guys. Bye. And let's get the 3 points.